For many years, humankind has been looking to space travel as the ultimate escape. In the past decades, we have made gigantic leaps to a point where a colony on Mars might actually be possible. Apart from the challenges building a city on Mars would bring, it would also bring many opportunities. Due to the lack in infrastructure, the colony can be fully shaped to one's liking, introducing radical innovations and improvements to the current system. In this podcast series, we will discuss innovations concerning health and welfare in a futuristic city on Mars. You will be listening to a conversation between a brother and a sister 300 years in the future. At this point, the city is well established and developed, and the sister has been sent there due to her critical position as a doctor.
Hey, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's quite hectic, of course, with Mom and the operation, but it's all right. She's just finished and the operation went quite well.
That's good to hear. I heard it was also quite difficult. How did it go?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of obstacles, of course, because, you know, she has a lot of diseases at the same time. But I think that after all, we can be very pleased with the outcome that she's all right, and, well, recovering, of course, and it will take time. It will take some time, but I think she'll get there. You know, we have a lot of new innovations and very new technologies, so, of course, we always have to get used to operating with those kind of equipment. But once you're used to it, you realize that it's way better than what we had on Earth, and it's safe to say, I think, that for the patient, it is a very good improvement, as everything will be more focused on a patient, but as well on a recovery. They will recover way faster because all the operations are very very easy, and they don't ask much of the human body.
All right, it sounds quite complicated. I heard something about personalized medicine on the news. Is that also what they use for Mom?
Yeah, personalized medicine is something we've used for years. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept, but if you're not, I can explain it to you.
Not that well, so yes, please.
All right, well, personalized medicine is all about finding a medicine for one specific patient. So let's say I have a very, very rare kind of cancer. Think about, I don't know, cancer in my left ear or something like that. Normally, you would say, okay, well, we'll cut the ear off, or we'll use, I don't know, medicine that's the same for everyone. But the thing with personalized medicine is that you can look at the disease of the person and what makes that the disease not comparable to others. And you can look at the DNA, for example, and you can develop a medicine that make sure that for the patient, it is the best medicine on the market. So it's a medicine made for one person specifically and for one condition specifically.
Ah, I think I get it. So, like, for instance, if there's somebody who has a who can't receive a medicine because of certain conditions, he can get another personalized medicine, especially made for that person, so it will work better.
Yeah, that's right. And another thing that can be very interesting, which we also use here, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's organoids. So the thing with organoids is that you take a specific cell of a human and you can make a small organ out of it. And in that way, you can test the medicine and you can really examine the organ and the disease. So it's very easy to make a very good and very specific type of medicine for that specific person.
Oh, wow. So you can test beforehand with like a sort of environment which is similar to the person's body then?
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it can be quite difficult because, of course, your organs are all connected to each other and they all have similar, the functions are very distinguished, but none of the organs act on their own. So it's always working with each other. So sometimes it can be quite hard because in some cases to develop a good medicine which does not harm the other organs, you have to build an entire human body of organoids to make sure that the medicine is indeed ride, but it is way faster than having to do a lot of examinations, and it's easier as well, and it is more specific and to make sure that you really have the medicine you want.
Wow, that's so fascinating. But let's get back to you, because I totally forgot. How is it with you? How is it going? Is it still busy with your work? How are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. We dive right into all the technical stuff. But no, I'm quite all right. I'm very busy because, well, you know, people always get sick and it never stops and never ends. But I think that's as well why I chose this field of work. But yeah, I'm okay. It's very satisfying to help so many people. And the most important thing is, I think, that I can help everyone and I know there's a treatment for everyone. So I will never have to tell patients, well, I'm very sorry to tell you, but you only have a few months to live. So it's very, I don't know, it's a very big improvement to where we came from. And, well, you know, it's okay and it's busy, but I'm quite happy that Mum's here right now, so I'm not all on my own, because when Mum's wasn't here, I most of the time felt quite lonely. Of course, you have all your friends here, but it's different than having family here. And how are you? I forgot to mention and ask how you are.
Well, it's good to hear that you're doing fine, and you're always a person who cares about other people, so it's nice to hear that you can help everybody now. And also, yeah, I get it that it's lonely when Mom is gone. I'm also quite lonely here since you are both on Mars. But I'm doing fine. I'm quite busy. I'm still working at the high school with all the children. And it's quite funny because they often ask how it is to live on Mars since you guys live there. So yeah, it's fun. I still think about you guys a lot. So it's good, but sometimes a bit lonely as well, yeah.
No, you're still the softy that I used to know. It's good to hear that you're great. And yeah, of course we miss you a lot too. But I can imagine that it's weird that we're both up here so far away and that you're all by yourself on Earth. But how are the children doing? How is everything with the kids on school? And what if they ask about Mars, what do you tell them? I'm curious.
It's good here. I think the children still like it, even though there's a lot to see and to experience on Mars. I think a lot of them really want to go to Mars eventually, especially since there's a lot of improvements on Mars, which I'm even not most of the time certain about, so you have to tell me more about them. But yeah, they mostly discuss about the futuristic things. So, for instance, if I'm calling with you guys, how that works, and when Mama was in the hospital, she still is. But like a few days ago, I called with her, and we can now use like sort of holograms, and they're really intrigued by that, how that works, and how realistic that is. So mostly the technological aspects, I guess so.
Yeah, I understand that it must be very interesting and invigorating to look at all those new innovations and improvements that we have here. And I must say that I was quite surprised that you didn't call me via the hologram, but that you just called me on your old iPhone. I must say that the connection is quite well, but sometimes you're a little bit, how do I say, you sound far away.
Yeah, I get that. I'm sorry. It was just easier for me by this time to call you like this. But I guess next time we'll use the holograms. It's way nicer. It was also so very cool to see like the environment of the hospital bed, like the room she was lying in, Mama. It was like covered with like screens and it projected images. Can you tell me something about that? Because I was really fascinated about it and I don't know what it is. Is it like real outside world, or was it, what is it?
Well, it's good to hear that I've tricked you, but no, it's not a real outside. The thing is that what we have here in the hospitals, and it's as well to support a quick and fast recovery, is that we have different kind of apartments. So every patient has a room of their own. No one has to lay together anymore. And we have sleeping pods. Those are like beds that are developed to support every single part of your body in the correct way. So you will never wake up and be all stiff or your back's all hurting or whatsoever. And what we use as well, what maybe look to you as being outdoors, we use enormous screens. And on that we project, for example, a picture of a forest, for example, or a snowy mountain, wherever you like to be, whatever your favorite place is to be. And that's mostly, I think, as well, to give them still a feeling of being in an environment like Earth. Because if when you walk out of the hospital here, you, of course, are a mass, and you, there's nothing here. Like, there are no trees. It's just an orange or red kind of planet that you're on. So we have had patients which thought, especially when I just came out of surgery and they were all drugged and just came out of narcosis, that they thought they were in a real forest, so they walked against the screens, and you would always see it happen, but always were too late to stop them, and they would just be standing there like, oh wait, it's not reality, it is a screen. And I think that those moments are very funny, but as well a very good point of realization that you in fact are on Mars and not on Earth anymore. But one last thing we also use in the rooms of the patients, and that's maybe the thing that tricks them the most, is aromatherapy. So we use familiar scents, for example, the scent of a forest or the scent of, I don't know, your mum or your father, or something you're very, very comfortable with, or just the smell of rain, of a rainy day, to really make you feel like you still are in a natural environment and still are an environment that you're used to with and that you feel safe in, feel comfortable in. So I think that's one of the things that you might have seen on the hologram.
Oh, yeah, now I get it. I was completely confused about it. And really funny story about the people walking through or against the screens. I already thought about it, because I thought, if you're going to Mars, like, there's such a completely different environment. Won't you, like, miss it? And won't you, like, miss going outside and smelling the woods and enjoying jogging through a forest? But I guess the screens can replace it all, right? And also with the new smells, it sounds amazing. But I still find it a bit artificial. Doesn't it really, like, after like a few hours, you see it, you just think of it, and you're like, well, this is not real life. I want to go back to Earth. Or are you completely, like liking it and not even thinking about it, that it's not completely real?
Well, I think that it's always a thing that you keep in mind, like, it's not real. And it of course is weird, and sometimes you think, oh, I would be lovely to walk outside and then be in a real forest or swim in a real lake or whatsoever. But on the other side, I think it's people that are here are all just so innovative and very focused on these technologies that we have here, and really admire those technologies. Because honestly, I would have never imagined this to be able on Earth, because it's like having a VR glasses on and walking into a world that's just so beautiful and so distinguished from Earth. And it's just, I don't know, I think that everyone here has a big admiration for what we built here and how it feels and how the experience it provides. But yeah, of course, sometimes I do miss Earth. And but yeah, I think everyone has that. But then on the other hand, we all keep in mind that it is an amazing opportunity to be here and to be allowed to be here. So I don't know. For both sides, there's something to say, but I think that at the end of the day, I'm still very pleased to be here.
Yeah, I get that. And it's also nice that you're there for mom for the operation. I think it's better to do it up there with all the specialized equipment they have. But I was wondering, what else is there to do up there? Is there like cinemas? Is there some club to go out? Or is it just you sit at home and watch through these VR glasses? Or is there like a lot to do? What kind of things are there to do?
Well, we don't sit at home and watch through our VR glasses. It's like just a city that you're used to on Earth, but then improved. So it's like this huge city with all these kind of tubes in between the buildings, because of course we can't walk outside because there's no oxygen. So we have to walk through these halls of oxygen. And that can be kind of weird. The beautiful thing about it is that they are made of glass, so you can look outside and really see Mars. But yeah, we've got cinemas and we've got pools, hydrogen pools, which really improve your experience of swimming. So yeah, I think it's mostly everything that you have in a normal city, but then extra and in a better performed and better executed way.
Wow, it sounds amazing. I should go there. It sounds too good to be true. All the pictures I'm seeing of the crazy buildings and all the tubes you also explained, it looks amazing. But is it difficult for me to get there? Is there like is there some restrictions from for me to get into Mars? Is there something they are checking, or is it just I can pass freely and get a ticket?
Well, no. Unfortunately, it is not. I wish it was, because then I think you would already have been up here. But first, when we started here and when we came here and when the plan of going to Mars and living on Mars was starting to be executed, I think that they took certain people with very critical jobs. For example, I'm a doctor, you know that. And I think that people with those kind of jobs that are really necessary were sent up to Mars to start and build a city there, make sure that everything went well and that there were no limitations or no errors or whatsoever. So yeah, I think that's the reason why you couldn't come up here so far. But I think that everyone always needs teachers, so perhaps in the future you are able to come up.
I hope that they need the primary school teachers as well, yeah. But I also, I thought like a friend of mine who was also on Mars, he mentioned something about before you could get access to the city, he had to do a sort of check, or he had to have like a sort of pass before you could access the city of Mars. How does that work? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, sure. Well, what we have before you come to Mars and before you are allowed to really walk around here and start building your life here, we want every single person to go into quarantine. And that is maybe may sound a little like, oh no, COVID-19 is coming back, we're all afraid again. But it's not like that at all. It's just making sure that no one brings dangerous viruses, because, well, it's very logical, because we all here are in a very isolated environment. So if one person catches a disease which is highly containable, it's very easy to spread it, and in no time everyone here will have it. And normally it wouldn't be bad to be, I don't know, have a little cold or whatsoever, but if everyone here gets the same cold and stops working or whatsoever, it's just it's not possible, because you always have to keep things going here. And I think that's as well more important here than on Earth, because on Earth, oh well, yeah, you can stay at home and whatsoever, but here it's you have to make sure that everything keeps going and keeps working 24 hours, because if our oxygen supply stops working, well, it's safe to say that we're all in big trouble. So that's why we use quarantine, and I think that's mostly what he meant.
Ah, yeah, I think that is it. Yeah, the word quarantine still reminds me of the COVID times. But I get it. It's also possible on Mars, I think. Since there's such a small city, it's possible to quarantine everybody before coming in. Because, for instance, here on Earth, we also did that, quarantining people who entered our cities. But since there was so much traveling abroad of people, it was almost impossible to do so. And of course, when you have whole countries or whole continents, it's way different than just a city on Mars. So I think that's really nice that they have done that and made it possible for that. I think we should implement that as well, if it's possible in a certain way here in on Earth. We can learn from you guys a lot, I think. That sounds cool. But what I have a lot of questions, because Mama only taught me about how she was doing, but she didn't tell me a lot about the operation. I think she forgot, or maybe she wasn't thinking about the operation since it's now done. But there was something about high end diagnose, something like that. She mentioned that. Can you explain that to me? I was wondering what that was, and if it helped her at all.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing that you asked. I think you're not familiar yet with the high-end diagnosis, but it's a thing we use here to diagnose illnesses in people, in patients. And the amazing thing about high-end diagnosis is you're not only looking at her illness and everything around it, but you're also looking at her vital functions. So how well they still are, and that can contribute to, for example, making the treatment heavier or making it lighter. And it as well gives an indication about how fast you could possibly be up and about again. I think that's the most important aspect of high-end diagnosis.
Okay, that makes it a bit more clear. I didn't really get what Mama was saying, and it's a lot more useful to talk to someone with some experience in medicine.
I think she as well still was high on the drugs, so I think maybe that's why she couldn't explain it quite well.
I think that was the case. She was all over the place, but also quite tired. So I think, yeah, it was the drugs and also the fatigue after an operation. I think that explains it. I will discuss it with her when she will be a little bit more rehabilitated, I guess.
That sounds like a great idea.
I hope that I can get to Mars one day. I heard something about expanding this city. Do you know anything about it, or should I contact somebody else for that?
Yeah, well, I know some rumors about it. I don't know everything. But we were thinking about expanding it, because it is, of course, such a great opportunity to be able to come to Mars. And it's a thing that we wish to share with as many people as possible. And, well, of course, we've got a whole planet for ourselves, so why not expand and expand if we can? So I think, yeah, I think those it's right that we're expanding. And that may be as well the reason that I think there are new people coming. I'm not sure, but perhaps when we are expanding, you can come. And then I think that if we start expanding, it will take some time, because, well, it's Mars. But yeah, I think we will be looking for new people then.
Oh, wow, that sounds so cool. I would be really glad to join you guys and to finally see you again. I do worry a bit about the children I'm leaving behind on the high school. I hope I can find a new teacher for them. And maybe I can continue my job on Mars. I'm not sure if there's already a high school, if there are a lot of children there. I don't think so, but maybe. I don't know. But it sounds good. So please let me know if there's a spot open for me to take.
Yeah, sure, I will do. And there are not a lot of children here right now, so that's as well why I think we haven't yet been looking for a teacher. But I heard the first things about couples coming here and couples forming on Mars as well. So I think that there will be a baby boom soon. So yeah, I will let you know whenever there's a spot open. And I think you'll be the first to know because, well, a great teacher, who wouldn't want a great teacher on Mars, right?
Oh, stop it. Thank you. But yeah, please let me know. I think in due time there will be children, I guess. If there's couples, I think that, and there will be a baby boom, I can teach and I have a job. So that's nice. But if I'm going to Mars, the sporty type I am, how can I sport? Because, well, let's start with this question. Do you know WALL-E?
Yeah, I do know WALL-E. I've seen the movie a dozen times. And the funny thing is that we use the movie WALL-E here to really motivate people to keep moving and really keep staying active. So it's almost like once a week in the cinema, we show WALL-E to make sure that there's no one, well, if people want to be fat, they can be fat, but it's just really bad for your health. So it's always showing one like, this is not what you want to become. This is not how you want to be. So watch yourself and exercise. So and I think what you were going to ask next, if there is a lot of opportunity to sport and work out. And there is. There we have large gyms and very good and new equipment, which really improves your workout, but as well improves the workout for your body. So it's not only really training your muscles, but as well building new ones and to making sure that you maintain them in the correct way, and that you don't really overuse them. So they'll break whatsoever.
Oh, that's good to hear. It's really fun to hear about the WALL-E movie, because that was something I forgot earlier. The kids are also almost always talking about the WALL-E movie. If I mention it, I hope to like meet you guys. They're saying, well, you're going to become like a person of the WALL-E movie, who sit in the floating or levitating chairs and they're just moving around and eating fast food all day. So I was thinking maybe that's also the case there, but I think not if you tell it like that. And is it also like, because again, it's working out on an orange planet. How is it enjoyable to work out there? Because for instance, I like biking, but can you also use the screens there? Do they do that as well?
Well, it's very different for everyone. So some people would really like to see the Martian planet, see Mars and the Martian environment. So they would like to bike with that view. But other people would indeed like to bike in, for example, a forest or in the city. And then it is indeed possible to use those same screens and projections and bike in such an environment, if you'd like. And then once again, we'll use the aromatherapy to really make sure you experience everything to the maximization and that all your senses are hyperactive.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And I don't think I need all the senses. For instance, the senses of sweating people around me, I don't like that one. But I think you can also put that out. So I heard that you guys on Mars have more time than we do. I heard like, what was it, 40 minutes or something?
It's 37 minutes, yeah. So you either have the choice to sleep half an hour longer or be more productive in that half an hour. And we also have more days here on Mars, I know, in a year. So yeah, we do have more time to use than you. So I get it if you're tired and wanting to sleep.
Wow, more time in a day. That sounds amazing. I definitely want to use that and experience that. And yeah, please let me know more if you know more. And I guess I'll be leaving because I have a class soon to teach. But yeah, thanks so much for all the information. Bye-bye.